We did what?
Gave up our kingdom. Poof. Gone. Abdicated.
Why did we do that?
For the good of candy bars everywhere. They need to be eaten, you see.
Huh?
We stood on a large castle balcony waiting for a crawly, whatever that was. Sing was with us, along with Bastille and her mother. Australia had stayed behind to run an errand for Grandpa Smedri, and my father had disappeared into his rooms. Apparently, he couldn't be bothered by something as simple as the impending fall of Mokia as a sovereign kingdom.
Well, let me explain it this way. A number of centuries ago, the people realized that there were just too many kingdoms. Most were only the size of a city, and you could barely go in for an afternoon stroll without passing through three or four of them.
I hear it was a real pain. Every kingdom had its own rules, its own culture, its own laws.
Then the librarians started conquering. The kings realized that they were too easy to pick off, so they began to band together, joining their kingdoms into one, making alliances.
Often that involved weddings of one sort or another.
That was during the time of our ancestor, King Leavenworth Smedri VI. He decided that it would be better to combine our small kingdom of Smedrius with that of Nalhalla, leaving the Smedrius free of all that bothersome reigning so we could focus on the things that were more important, like fighting the librarians.
I wasn't sure how to react to that. I was the heir of the line. That meant if our ancestor hadn't given up the kingdom, I'd have been directly in line for the throne. It was a little bit like discovering that your lottery ticket was one number away from winning.
We gave it all away. All of it?
Well, not all of it. Just the boring parts. We retained a seat on the Council of Kings so that we could still have a hand in politics. And, as you can see, we have a nice castle and a large fortune to keep us busy. Plus, we're still nobility.
So what does that get us?
Oh, a number of perks. Call-ahead seating at restaurants, access to the royal stables, and the royal cinematic carrier fleet. I believe we've managed to wreck two of those in the last month. We're also peerage, which is a fancy way of saying we can speak in civil disputes, perform marriage ceremonies, arrest criminals, that sort of thing.
Wait, I can marry people?
Sure.
But I'm only 13.
Well, you couldn't marry yourself to anyone, but if somebody else asked you, you could perform the ceremony. It wouldn't do for the king to have to do all of that himself, you know. Ah, here we are.
Gak!
I glanced over my shoulder, then jumped, as I saw an enormous reptile crawling along the sides of the buildings toward us.
Dragon!
Brilliant observation, Smedri.
Don't be alarmed, lad. That's our ride.
I could see that the wingless horned creature had a contraption on its back, a little like a gondola. The massive beast defied gravity, clinging to the stone faces of the buildings, kind of like a lizard clinging to a cliff. Only this lizard was big enough to swallow a bus. The dragon reached Keep Smedri, then climbed up to our balcony, its claws gripping the stones. I took an involuntary step backward as its enormous serpentine head crested the balcony and looked at us.
Smedri.
Hello, Tsoktonaten. We need a ride to the palace, quickly.
So I have been told. Climb in.
Wait, we use dragons as taxis?
The dragon eyed me, and in that eye I saw a vastness. A deep, swirling depth, colors upon colors, folds upon folds. It made me feel small and meaningless.
I do not do this of my own will, young Smedri.
How long left on your sentence?
300 years.
The creature glanced away.
300 years before they will return my wings so that I may fly again.
With that, the creature climbed up the side of the wall a little farther, bringing the gondola basket into view. A walkway unfolded from it, and the others began to climb in.
What'd he do?
Oh, first-degree maiden munching, I believe. It happened some 4 centuries back, tragic story. Watch that first step.
I followed the others into the gondola.